From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The best writing lives across space and time to reveal what is universal and human. As reading children and adults, books shape our sense of the self and the world around us. GPB is exploring that dynamic and the country's 100 most loved novels with the series The Great American Read. Readers can vote on their favorites, and the favorite is going to be revealed on, drumroll please, Tuesday. As the deadline nears, we've got GPB host Bill Nigut and Emily Jones to talk about their picks, or maybe even their should-have-been-a contenders. Hello, Bill and Emily.
Hi, Virginia.
Well, Bill, hey, this Virginia. Is we're giving you a little break from the gubernatorial race to talk about this
Thank
important
goodness.
Election. The important election of the favorite Great American Read book. There's a list of 100 novels that was put together for this series. Vintage classics. We've got Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. More recent works, Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Many, many good books. But how did you dive into the list, Bill?
I love murder mystery. And you can't ask for a greater murder mystery than Crime and Punishment.
Ooh, that's a big one.
It's a brilliant book. And, of course, what makes it such a fascinating murder mystery is we know who the murderer is at the very beginning of the book. We watch the process that he goes through in deciding to kill an old lady who he really doesn't know at all. And the mystery is really about how he is eventually going to confess to the crime and how the inspector involved in this case is going to manipulate and play on his guilt to get Rodion Romanovich Raskolnikov to confess to the murder. It's a phenomenal book.
It makes me want to write it and read it again. But do you, Bill, do you often do that? Do you go back and read books decades later?
Not a whole lot of them. That's certainly one of them. Another is The Great Gatsby. Part of the reason I love Gatsby is, you know, the famous last lines of the novel. Should we read them?
Yes, please. Why not?
So we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past. That's such a poetical and beautiful thing. But I'll tell you, the reason I wanted to share that with you is I had Jane Smiley on Two-Way Street at one point. And of course, she's a Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist, 1,000 Acres, her biggest novel. She hates Great Gatsby, and she thinks that line is just full of malarkey. And I argued with her on it. What are you talking about, Jane? Anyhow.
All right, Emily, you have any arguments for Bill Nigut? Is he full of malarkey?
Well, I have to admit, I haven't actually read The Great Gatsby for complicated reasons that aren't worth getting into here. But I also love a whole bunch of books on this list. Like, I have a list here in front of me of like 5 or 6 that are like, oh, wait, no, that's my favorite on the list. That's my favorite. Harry Potter, obviously, I'm completely obsessed with Harry Potter. Anne of Green Gables, the Narnia books, Jane Eyre, Pride and Prejudice, War and Peace. They're such a wide span of different books and I don't know. They're all books that just kind of like captured my imagination. And especially the thing that kind of sticks out to me about all the books that I just named, except for War and Peace, which I didn't read until I was an adult, is that they're all books that really kind of captured my imagination when I was pretty young. Like these are books I read in middle school, or in the case of Narnia and Harry Potter, like even earlier than that. And I just totally fell in love with them. So they're not just books that I love, but they're books. I mean, Jane Eyre especially sticks in my mind as a book that, like, I mean, she's such an incredible character who, you know, stays true to herself and kind of, you know, perseveres through these horrifying hardship she goes through in her life. But it, you know, I connected to her, and I also, I don't know, I think it that reading that kind of connected me more deeply to reading books and to appreciating characters and understanding stories, which is another thing that, you know, a really great book will do. It'll make you love not just the book itself, but reading. It makes you love reading even more.
You know, can I weigh in for a sec? Because, Emily, you mentioned Harry Potter. And those are books that I've read frequently. I have two children, both of whom are now grown. And with each one of them, I sat down and read the entire Harry Potter series with. And I tear up when I think about it, because I think J.K. Rowling gave families such an extraordinary gift in writing those books.
Huh, yeah, there wasn't so much common language between adult and children's books.
To this day, we talk, my son who's 29 and my daughter who's 21, about what it was like to spend the evening going through the stories of Harry Potter. I love her for having written those books.
Well, Emily, it's funny to hear you talk about Jane Eyre. I read that when I was a young girl, and I remember this the beauty of a woman who was plain and obscure, you know, making it, sort of overcoming that. Was that I wonder if there's a book that you can think of that you first told somebody else, you have to read this, like that sharing experience of books.
Oh, I think I've been a book evangelist for my entire life. I mean, I don't know I don't know if I can think of a first example of a book that I was like, oh my God, you have to read this. I feel like I do that with every book that I read. If I really like it, I'm like, every person I run into, telling them, you know, selling them on whatever book it is that I'm reading at the moment. I think I was doing that like as a small child.
It's Emily Jones, GPB host, along with Bill Nygut, also host of Political Rewind here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. We're talking about their favorite books for the Great American Read. The voting ended this week, but the great reveal is going to be happening next week on Tuesday. Well, of course, a project like this could never capture the incredible diversity of literature that's out there. And like most literary lists, the writers on the Great American Read list do skew white and male. So, Emily, I'll ask you first. What's missing?
I mean, so many books are missing. It's like we all feel like we would love to just, well, this is my favorite, so I'm going to put it on the list. I mean, as you mentioned, it is pretty white and pretty male, which to some degree I think is just kind of a function of school. Like so many of these books are the kinds of books that you read in high school, you know. Most of the books I feel like are ones I read in high school or are pretty standard on high school curriculum. So like, I don't know, I feel like that's maybe where some of the problem is. Like our high schools need to read some more diverse writers. Like I would love to see some, you know, Jamaica Kincaid or Louise Erdrich or Jhumpa Lahiri on here. Some books that really talk about and get into some other aspects of the American experience that are super universal, but also really, really specific to the backgrounds that those authors come from, you know, since part of our whole deal as a country is that we all come from a wide range of backgrounds, you know, the melting pot that we always talk about.
How about for you, Bill? Who gets left out of these conversations and lists of classic literature?
Well, you know what? I'll talk about it from more contemporary fiction, because you can go back and say there are any number of great authors of classical works that are missing. But in a more recent period, I thought one of the most exceptional novels that I read over the last 10 years or so was The Goldfinch, Donna Tartt's.
Oh, Donna Tartt's book.
Spectacularly.
Boy, you choose fat books, Bill.
Yeah, I know. Well, I do. I mean, you're absolutely right. I love big fat books. Where's Dickens on? Yeah, I think Dickens is on here with Great Expectations
is on there, but it should be A Tale of Two Cities because that's my favorite book of all time.
Wow.
Is A Tale of Two Cities.
Wow. See, I think yeah. I mean, you almost have to put all of Dickens' novels on here because
it's a little
surprising
that there's just Great Expectations.
Yeah, I was surprised.
But I think that gets a little bit to what Emily was saying. This is often the books that you read in high school, and that's the one that's often chosen, isn't it? And I wonder about that, you know, how we grow with books. I was reading Emma Lord. She's a writer for Bustle. She wrote a humorous, though, let's say, very judgy column on seven reasons why you should never date someone who doesn't read books, and writes, how will you ever truly know what kind of a person is until you know their opinion about books? And I'm wondering, what is that like for you? How do you respond when someone you meet loves the same books? We'll put a positive twist on this instead of hasn't read your books.
It definitely creates like a super rapid connection with someone. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think that people have to love the same books as you or even love books in the same way as you. It's almost more fun sometimes to trade book recommendations back and forth with someone like, oh, you haven't read this book that I completely love. You must. I can't wait for you to read this book, you know.
Or you can have an argument with Jane Smiley, for example.
You know, I am a huge fan of Jane Smiley's work. Like I said, A Thousand Acres, which is a novel that put her on the map.
Amazing
book. An extraordinary book. But when she came into this very studio to talk with me about the most recent novel she'd written, name of which I forget right now, I was kind of struck by how snobby she was about reading, which is fine. She, you know, given her skills, given her talent, I really was kind of upset with a few of the things she said about other writers.
Well, there's a lot of judginess about books. And this list in particular got a lot of judgment, not just for those who were obscured, but those who were included. You know, 50 Shades of Grey. How could you possibly put that on a list like this?
Yeah, I know, Emily, you and I could argue about this because we've talked about it. I don't think 50 Shades of Grey should be on here. I get.
She's ready to go. She's ready to go.
Look, I have nothing against popular fiction. I love popular fiction. Right now, I'm reading Tana French's most recent novel, brand new one. It was just New York Times just reviewed it. Stephen King called it brilliant. So that's popular fiction. I love popular fiction. But, Emily, I would argue that a book like 50 Shades of Grey, I just don't believe we should be holding it up and suggesting that this is a book among the other 99 that people might that is worth their while.
Okay.
I just don't get
okay.
that.
Okay, over
I
to
have
you,
a problem
Emily.
I have a problem with throwing should into this conversation at all. Like, it's some sort of, like, proscriptive list that we're, like, handing down to people. These are the books you must read. I mean, this isn't a list. This isn't a list of you know, what are the greatest American novels of all time. A lot of them aren't even American, for that matter. But which I also have lots of arguments to make about lists like that, but this is a list about America's favorite books. These are the books that we love, the books that connect to people, the books that people enjoy reading. And I think that people should enjoy reading whatever they want to read, and we should not be, you know, piling judgment on people and on books because they don't meet whatever our arbitrary standards of, like, what make great literature. Is 50 Shades of Grey my favorite book in the world? No, it's not. But I'm honestly happy to see a book like 50 Shades of Grey on this list because I think that, you know, romance novels deserve a lot more recognition and clout in the world because they're, in many cases, great books that people love to read. And if it's a book, if it's a list of people's favorite books, then we should include people's favorites, not just the stuff that we want to declare are the best books. It's a list of popular. We're not talking about best and greatest.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, certainly.
It's America's favorite books.
No, it's great American reads. I would argue with you that 50 Shades of Grey is a romance novel. It's not. It's softcore porn. Now, I'm all for
pornography. Have you ever read a romance novel?
Of course.
A fair amount of activity happening in romance novels.
Right. Okay, okay. So with every election comes great discord, and we're hearing it in this room.
This is the partisan gulf that we have been talking about on Political Rewind. This is tribalism at its best.
Can I just say that the description says best loved books?
Could I throw something
different
in?
Only if you do it quickly. What is your different thing? I'm just curious.
I finally read Frankenstein a year ago for the first time. You don't know anything about the story of Frankenstein if all you've done is to have seen the various movies. That would be the one recommendation I would make among all these books here because it's so surprisingly different from what we think of when we think of Frankenstein.
There you go. Bill Nygut, Political Rewind host here at GPB. Emily Jones, thank you so much for speaking with us. The Great American Read reveals its number one best love book this Tuesday, October 23rd on the grand finale program. Coming up, we're going to speak with actors from the show Black Lightning, which films in Atlanta. This is On Second Thought.